All right, so joining us right now, Orlando City defensive midfielder Amobi Okugo and PR director for Orlando City, Jamie Chin.
Title.
hey, I got you, Jamie. You know, I got you.
All right, let me kind of get situated here.
Oh, no worries.
There we go. All right, so thanks for joining us, first of all.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it. Hey.
Yeah, there we go.
I can say it now?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for coming on. So, all right, so here's the plan here. We're going to talk a little bit of soccer first because obviously,
okay. Yeah, no worries.
You know, you're on the team and kind of be a shame not to talk about that. And then you know, say 15 minutes from now, we'll go into a little NBA draft. So, hey, there you go. So, first off, I mean, you went to UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Only spent 1 year there, and then went straight into the 2010 MLS Super Draft. Got picked fifth by the Union. So you're almost considered a veteran now. You've been in the league. You've been in the league 4 years. Considering
years. This is my sixth year. Yeah, my sixth year.
Yeah. Ooh, geez. Okay. So, but I mean, considering how young this Orlando City team is, you're pretty much one of the veterans on the team, right?
I guess. Yeah. I still like to think I'm somewhat young, but, you know, with all these young guys, the young internationals, the young Americans on the team, it's really great. It's really great to see how Orlando's focused on the youth.
Yeah, so now, like, you know, you spent pretty much your entire career in Philadelphia, and then this is your first year here in Orlando. Yeah, Ken's a Philly guy, so
you can
just ignore him.
He's in purple now, though.
Oh, yeah, of course he had to change his pants.
Could you... Could you rephrase that?
No.
I put on a purple in honor of our guests here, but no, I'm Philly born and bred. So
there you go. So now, you know,
I'm post Union though. So,
but you know, being in Philadelphia and now coming here, what's the difference in the culture? Because Philly's, you know, they got the Sons of Ben over there. They got that whole, you know, they just had a movie release and everything, and now you're coming here. You know, it's still a fairly new club. You know, it's the 4 years in USL. And then now this first year in MLS, what's the big difference that you've seen so far with the culture and the fan base?
The culture, I think, you know, with Orlando City being a club before, that I think they already have like a base of, you know, how to go about their business. You know, the first game, I felt like the fans would have known the chance for years, and apparently they have because, you know, they've been in the USL for the 4 years. They expected to win right off the bat. You know, Philly, the fans, you know, they expected us to win, but I felt like they gave us a little bit of a grace period. Orlando, it was win now. You know, we're used to winning. This is how it's going to be. Defy expectations. Where Philly, you know, it felt like, you know, all right, the first year is to help feel it out, see how it's going to go, and then from then on, you know, expect greatness. You know, Philly fans are hard. Orlando fans are hard. They're hard on us, and we embrace that, and it helps. It pushes us in the games.
Gotcha. Now, you know, going back to that 2010 year when you were drafted fifth overall, you know, four picks before you is your current teammate, new teammate, Danny Mwanga. So it doesn't happen very often where two teams that get draft, you know, first and fifth, and then somehow they end up on the same team again. What's that like having Danny playing with you again?
It's good, you know. He's one of my closest friends when it comes to players around the league. Yeah, we were roommates in Philadelphia. We went through the grind together. We actually first met when we were playing in the Pac-12 together or against each other. He was at Oregon State and I was at UCLA. And, you know, we've kept in touch all these years. And when he left Philadelphia, it was kind of out of the blue, but we always knew that somehow we're gonna be reunited, and it happened with Orlando, and it's just great that we get to experience this new team together.
Gotcha. Now, you know, going back to your first year and only year at UCLA, you only spent that 1 year. Was that just because, you know, you had a high ceiling and you wanted to take advantage of that, or what was your decision making behind that?
Yeah, every time I see the UCLA coach, he always jokes about he recruited me for 3 years and then I only was there for 3 months. I don't know. I had the opportunity to bypass college, but, you know, I'm Nigerian American. My parents are immigrants. They came in like the 80s, and I'm a first generation African American here. So my parents are really big on education. So I wanted to at least go to UCLA and experience the college life, grow as a player and as a man, living on my own for a little bit. And I felt that our UCLA team did really well. And when everyone does well as a team, then certain players show their potential. And I did that at UCLA, and I was given a great opportunity with the Generation Adidas, where I was able to continue my education and pursue my professional soccer dream. So it was just, you can't pass that up.
For sure. So looking at this team that you're on now, like I said before, young players really developing from all over the world, essentially. What have you seen through just, you know, the coaches and your teammates, how the progression of the season has been going and like kind of growing, you know, as you play? You are about halfway through the season almost now. What have you seen so far from your, you know, the younger guys?
The younger guys, they're just getting better day by day, week by week. They're really progressing and maturing, you know, right before our eyes. You know, whether it's a guy that like Tommy Redding, who's, you know, he's filled out his body, he's getting bigger, he's, you know, able to compete with some of the bigger guys, or a guy like Rafa Ramos, who's, you know, learning how to react differently to certain situations. Yeah, it's great to see, because, you know, not a lot of teams really rely on their young guys like we do, and it's great to see, especially in America, to produce young players and develop young players. And I wish I was in a situation where the coaches, when I was a rookie, to, you know, put all that pressure on us and give the young guys minutes, because it's great to see, and that's the only way you're going to develop, by getting games.
All right, we're talking to Amobi Okugo of the Orlando City Soccer Club, as well as Jamie Chin, the PR director of Orlando City. Amobi, what?
No, you're good.
He's trying to be low key.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to recognize you, man.
You're down the social media, man. I, you know, hey. That's what I'm doing.
Hey, you know, we got to recognize you. You've done a lot for us, for the show here over the years. So we got to make sure you get your due.
Nah, I appreciate it, man.
And
no
problem.
For being off radio or off camera.
All right, so Moby, I want to ask you, because like I said, there's a lot of players from all over the world. Has the language barrier been kind of interesting to work with when it comes to communicating with your teammates?
Yeah, I feel like soccer is a universal language, but it's been great to have guys like Aurelien Collin, Kaká, guys that speak multiple languages, to be kind of the translators. And as we've grown and known each other more, there's little tendencies that we know. And I feel like my Spanish has gotten a lot better. You should have seen Carlos when he first came in, Carlos Rivas. He didn't know a lick of English. And now he's actually – he's able to communicate what he's thinking. And it's been great to see. And by the end of the season, everyone's – it's just going to continue to get better.
All right. So I want to ask you about some of your opponents, because I know you're a Chelsea fan.
Oh, yeah.
As am I, and I give him a lot of slack for that, being an Arsenal fan, you know. Anyway, but, you know, one of the club's legends, Frank Lampard, is going to be coming to MLS, playing with New York City. You won't be facing him until the last game of the season, I think, at home. Because the transfer window and whatnot.
Okay. We play on the last game of the season?
Yeah. Uh-huh. At home. Well, the last home game
last
of the season.
Okay, last
Philly,
home game.
I think.
Yeah,
Philly.
We're closing Philly.
There you go.
Got that on the calendar.
But, I mean, you've probably watched, Frankie Lampard.
Super Frank.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to bring that chant into New York?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. You know, those New York fans always biting on some other group chance. So we'll see what happens.
But you know, what having watched him play for one of your favorite clubs in the EPL, what do you think it's going to be like to play against him?
Oh, it's going to be a great experience. You know, this is a guy I was watching on TV, cheering him on with the scarf and the jersey and all that. And you know, his caliber, it's never going to go away. No matter how old he is, he's smarter, he's quicker on the ball, he's just a great player. There's a reason why he has over 150 goals as a midfielder in the EPL, and it's going to be a blessing to play against him, but it's not like we're going to be in awe of him. Once the game starts, you know, everyone's going to be, he's an enemy.
Gotcha. So maybe a jersey trade after the game? Is that too far out of the question?
No, I'm not really big on jersey trades unless I, like, know the guy. I'm not going to be begging or taking a selfie with the Messi after the game.
Yeah. Hey, that's a UCF product right there. Sean Brown. It's a local guy.
Yeah, I just trade jerseys with guys I know or friends, and yeah.
Gotcha. Fair enough. All right. Ken, you got anything you want to ask? Nope. All right.
Busy getting all this stuff out in the
Twitterverse.
Twitterverse, the Facebook, Facebookburg. So
fair enough.
But I wonder what they think they're going to do with the Lakers going to do with that number two pick up there.
Yeah, we got two Lakers fans in the building here, folks.
Oh yeah.
Lakers and Arsenal, man. Come on, Jamie.
Those are two great teams.
I don't know about the first one.
All right, so
doing so well right now, but
yeah, both Lakers fans. You got the number two pick for now, mm-hmm. And I say for now because there might be some trades going around. There's all those talks about bringing in LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, what's your general opinion on what the Lakers should do in this draft? Because there's a lot of options out there for you.
What you think, Jamie? I'll let you take it, and then I'll go for
it. I say we let them make the number two pick up on our draft board here.
There you go.
Oh, we do have a draft board. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know too many of the guys. I know this is a good, strong draft, but I think if you're the Lakers and you can get something really good for the number two pick, I think that would be their move, is to try and move the number two pick for someone good, because the Lakers have never really always relied on the draft. Like, we're about winning now. Which is why I like the Lakers. So I think if they get a good offer, I think they will trade the number two pick.
Okay.
But who knows? I mean, we'll find out tonight. But that's my guess. That's what I would do, which is probably why I'm not a GM. But
fair enough. All right, Moves, what do you think?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know. It seems like Okafor is falling down the drafts. I mean, he's still going to be a high pick. I'd like to see Cousins and the sixth pick. And we'll give him the number two pick and Jordan Clarkson or Jordan Hill, some of those guys. And then I think the Lakers are really high on the point guard from Ohio State, Russell. So
another local kid from around here.
I don't know if they're gonna. I don't know if they trust that he's gonna fall to the sixth pick. So they might pick him at number two and then try to move something around to try to get another piece.
Yeah, it's for the Lakers' sake, it's going to be hard to get one of those marquee guys without trading that number two.
It's so tough.
It's in high demand, and you know, obviously the teams aren't going to just take peanuts for you know, their marquee player.
Yeah, and so that's why I think that too is, like, the draft is really strong this year, so the number two pick is worth a lot more than maybe previous years where the draft has been a little bit weaker. Mm. So.
Yeah, but I mean, if you guys end up with Okafor, that's not bad, is
exactly.
it?
Exactly. He's a player you could build a team around, especially with Randall already there. And
if he stays healthy.
Yeah, you're not worried about that. This is
just a freak accident.
Yeah,
in that
freak
first
accident.
Game. Yeah. I mean, those things happen, you know. But, I mean, speaking of injuries, your boy Kobe coming off another injury. how much time does he have left in this league?
As much time as he wants. He's Kobe Bryant.
But he's only got one more year on his contract, and I don't think the Lakers are keen on re-signing him, even though he is a legend with the team.
He could take a pay cut. It's not a problem.
I'm with Moves on this one. I think he's earned it, you know. I think he's earned that respect.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's
he's still a killer, by the way.
I mean, there's got to be a point where you say, Kobe, you can't keep taking 35 shots a game. You know, He's not that Kobe anymore. Let's face it. He's not what he used to be.
He's a competitor. I think he realizes that, and I think with these past two injuries, he's starting to hit him. So I think he's going to change his game. He's still going to be an assassin when it comes to creating his own shot, or you know, being a player that's going to be focused on. But he's going to have to rely on his players, his new players, just like he did with Pau Gasol and Bynum when he needed their help to overcome the Celtics. And I don't want to touch your subject with the Magic too, but
hey, I mean, we're rebuilding, you know.
It's Courtney Lee coming in. He was big for us. Yeah, in that series, actually.
Apparently, I pissed him off or something.
Oh,
I don't know. It's a long story. But
we can skip that one. Yeah.
We'll be having some. we'll be having some NBA guests coming on here. We had Jeff Turner on at the beginning of the show, so
that
was good fun. But so you know, with the Lakers though, you know, going back to that Pau Gasol Andrew Bynum days, Andrew Bynum though, but it's funny mentioning him in the. You know, in that context nowadays, that he's just kind of falling off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
But anyways,
seems like a smart move on the Lakers' part now.
Yeah.
Huh?
But you know, with the roster that they have now, even if they get you know one of the premier picks or one of the marquee players from another team, do you really think that they can make the playoffs?
The playoffs, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, they can make the playoffs. I'm not sure if they're going to be competing for.
I mean,
it's a title.
It's a tough Western Conference, you know. I mean, there have been some good teams that have just missed out. You know, do you really trust the guys that are on the squad right now?
No, that's why they're going to be making changes. That's why all these rumors are coming around. Yeah, Lakers fans, they can't be out the playoffs for consecutive years.
Yeah.
So they're gonna get something done.
Yeah, especially Boston made the playoffs this past year.
Yeah, I don't think the Buss family will let the Clippers become LA's team anytime soon.
Yeah, it's not happening.
That's Lakerville. The thing was that when we were talking with Jeff Turner a little earlier, the Magic, and God, this was 20 years ago, back when I had dark hair. You know, it took a very, very magic ping pong ball that allowed Orlando to get Anthony Hardaway after they got Shaq to go from out of the playoffs to 2 years later in the finals. So that was stupid luck of the draw. That was just, that's off the charts. I don't know if there's, talking about, you know, the Lakers being contenders anytime soon, in like the 2 years. I don't know the way it is right now, unless you get that kind of draft luck. I don't know if there's a way in place where you can make that meteoric rise that fast anymore.
The only way is if we get LeBron.
Yeah.
Well, I guess anything's possible, just not a lot of things are probable.
Yeah. Wait, Jimmy, you said you have a source.
No, I'm only joking.
Okay.
LeBron's camp is too tight.
Yeah, I don't think he's leaving Cleveland anytime soon. Even if Kevin Love's on his way out, which it kind of looks
might
like
might come
it is.
To LA too, by the way. That's another rumor.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, everyone wants to go to LA. Yeah. You know, Steven Gerrard's going to LA. You know?
I don't want to go to LA. Farthest west I've ever been in my life is Vegas.
That's not a bad place
that's
to
not
go.
Bad.
Yeah, I landed there and I'm like, this is kind of nice. I'm going to stay here a while.
Gotcha. All right, well.
Is that all you got for us?
Yeah. Well, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Yeah, I asked all these.
That's lousy for radio, by the way. Austin is pointing at Jamie.
Yeah, I was saying I've asked all these questions to Amobi, but I haven't asked one to Jamie, you know. You've been with the club, you know, Orlando City for quite a long time now,
mm-hmm.
you know, back in the USL days, back at the championships and whatnot. That crazy 7-4 game back in 2013, you know, that crazy season last year playing at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best moment for you from Orlando City?
Wow. Tough question.
I got to leave you with that. I got to leave you with that.
There's been a lot. I would say, honestly, the best moment, this is tough, because the MLS announcement is up there too, but I think seeing 62,000 people in the stadium on opening day was probably by far the best moment. I think, I don't know what's going on right now over the side of the studio.
62,000 was crazy.
Yeah, the 62,000 was legit.
Was it loud on the field as it sounded like, you know, up in the stands?
It just wasn't real life for a second. Like, we were playing the game, and then, I don't know, the ref, like, made a call, and a couple of guys just, like, looked up and was just like, that's a lot of purple.
Yeah, it was a lot of purple. I don't know. I think that was it for me, too, yeah, to be honest. When we were standing down there and I looked up and it just went all the way to the top, I think I shed a little tear then, because it was a lot of hard work to get to that moment. So that was...
Hey.
That was good. MLS announcement is a close second for sure.
Yeah, but hey, you put in a lot of work and you don't get thanked for it. So I'm thanking you, you know, live on air right now for all that you do.
Yeah,
thank you, my friend.
Yeah, shout out. I got a couple of buddies of mine that've been with Orlando City since day one. This, I think 2 years ago. I know they're brothers. Went to high school with them. They're twins. One of them took a job outside of Raleigh. One of them took a job outside of Blacksburg, Virginia. It was killing them not to be able to be here when their little club, their little USL club, was now playing MLS ball.
Yeah.
So, and I think a lot of us who, you know, who I was around a lot that first year as a fan. Yeah, that first game, the 60-some thousand.
Yeah.
In a town where you still hear the voices, oh, soccer ain't a sport, you know, and that kind of that kind of thing. To hell with them, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that was, you know, if you didn't get a little choked up before that game started, as loud as that place was, just hearing it on TV.
Yeah.
I can't fix you.
Yeah. All right. Well. Appreciate you guys coming in. Amobi Okugo, Jamie Chin from Orlando City Soccer Club. We'll be seeing a lot of you guys over the next few months here, since the season will go until what,
October 25th,
November, because we'll make the playoffs.
There you go. There you go.
There it is.
There you go.
December 7th, last game of the season.
Being hosted at the Citrus Bowl, right?
Let's hope. Keep our good form.
Yeah, that'd be the second leg of the MLS Cup.
No, the final is just one.
Oh, that's
game.
Right. No, the semis are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything building up to that is two legs, but then you got the final. So there you go. So thank you, gentlemen, for stopping by. Hope you guys get what you want in the draft tonight, and. So we'll be back in just a minute here, talking more NBA draft on this 5-hour edition of the Community Sports Report, right here on 91.5 FM, the best in basement radio.